after in our pavement, we looked after in Swannanoa. I wish I did live on a block, but no, somebody else looks after him. He's very, very good. Very, very good.
Okay.
But it's a bit distracting, isn't it?
How long have you had him?
16 years.
It's hard, isn't it? Animals are hard.
Animals are hard.
Because, I mean, they really give you unconditional love in a lot of cases. Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. Well, I think his is slightly conditional on the carrots, to be fair.
You've had pets put down before, I presume?
Yeah. But never a horse.
Oh, yeah, no. Oh, just fine. You're just going to have a dialogue with him. Mm-hmm. You're going to talk to him and say, look.
This is the way it is.
This is the way it is. Mm-hmm. We think this is the best. And you go through it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really, and yeah.
Yeah, so I think that's what will happen, but that's okay. Anyway, we need to get out. Swap chairs. What? How? Is this our last session? Is that right?
I don't know. I haven't been. I think there's automatically booked the next one. I don't know.
Because my understanding, if it's with a cancer society, then there's just three.
Oh, okay.
But I don't know.
Okay.
Anyway, we'll see how today goes.
Well, this okay.
What's your thoughts about what you want to talk about and how things have gone?
In my lift course today, it's quite interesting. We did on control, and Tim Fletcher lists 45 levels of control.
Really?
And Helen. So it was quite interesting, and I, looking back now, I've discovered that, I think in a lot of ways I was acting as a young boy.
Right.
Just go with the flow, just listen, do whatever's required, you just be obedient and you'll eventually get through this.
Yeah.
And I just wrote that down here. If I comply, I'll be okay. In a sense, if I'm thinking about as a young boy, that's exactly what was happening. I was just complying to try and make things work. And I have to say to myself right now, look at it, intellectually really intelligent, but I think emotionally quite immature. So that's kind of why it took so long to get to the point of where I'm at. So what really happens then, I've been in quite a stressful environment for quite a long time.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Last time I remember, though, you were talking about the growth that you are having.
I was pulled it quick on me. Yes, there is, but there's been a lot since I spoke.
Okay.
What I have, I don't know if you know, my cortisol is 25% above.
You told me that it was very high in the mornings,
yeah.
And that when you went and ran and things like that.
I got it down again, but I can't carry on running all the time. So, anyway, and then, I don't know if you know, I was diagnosed with ADHD a while ago.
Yes.
Right. So I've been looking at that now, ADHD. Okay, so what happened then was that I decided I'll try Ritalin. They were prescribed, so... So I had a dose, 20 milligrams, which is a low dose, and...
When was this? When did you...
2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago.
Yeah, so that might have been not... Yeah, in between last time I saw you.
Okay.
So I tried that, and it's got an 8-hour lifespan. So when I took it, I thought, maybe I'm slightly calmer. I'm not quite sure. If anything, I was slightly calmer.
Okay.
Till it wore off. And then it was really good I did that, because that's when it wore off, I had the same feelings of my nervous dysregulation. So I kind of thought, oh golly, there's a link between the two. So when I had freezes and things like that, it was the same.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously, when I came off that, it probably, I had probably the strongest suicidal feelings I've had before.
Oh, really?
It was actually really quite bad. So I realized then, so I've been doing a bit of research between cortisol, ADHD, and so what's interesting is that when the endocrinologist I didn't actually see one, but we did some tests via my doctor and came back and said everything's functioning properly. You know, my adrenal glands are working properly. Is it Dextra something test?
Yes, there is one of those, yes.
Yeah.
I can't remember what it's called.
And the urine test is also you're fine. Sort out, and the oncologist's report was sort out the depression. And I thought, I don't understand where that comes from. But now I realize it's quite linked. So I might be having depression, but with the type of person that I am, it doesn't come out in the sense of, so for me, I'm depressed, but I've got this drive to find a solution. So it's like, and this is what happens. This is really what happens is that what I'm understanding now is when I think, hey, I found a solution, I get the dopamine rush from that.
Mm-hmm.
And that runs for maybe a day or two
mm-hmm.
and then disappears. And then I go back down in the hole again. And this has been cycling for a long time now.
Mm-hmm.
So what really happening is I think I've got a dopamine, cortisol, that whole mixture is all upside down. But to put another one into perspective of it, and I'm not quite sure where I'm going to go with this. Well, I actually have got an idea, but I feel like taking my doctor and giving him a bit of a boot. Because I asked him 18 months ago, I said, why is it when I wake up in the morning, I can feel, say 6 o'clock, feel like quite good, but if I doze in bed, I have these dreadful dreams. And I said, is it preparing me for a day of anxiety, getting me fired up for my anxiety? So, because that's what I've been used to. I thought, is that what it is? Anyway, blow me down. My mind's actually not working today, funny enough. And I think I know why. The same question came up recently again. Oh, sorry. The first question was 18 months ago when we said that. No explanation. And then when I thought, maybe I'm getting anxious thoughts in the morning to get me fired up for the day.
Mm-hmm.
Blow me down. Your cortisol rises up to 20-30% between 30 minutes and 45 minutes after you wake. So if I wake up and stay in bed and doze, my cortisol goes up.
Mm-hmm.
I presume my dopamine goes down or whatever it is. And then I'm in the state of dysregulation. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the right word is.
Mm-hmm. I think dysregulation is a good word.
Or psychosis or whatever you want to call it. Quite a strong. It was really uncomfortable. So that I only picked up yesterday, actually, or the day before that. So what I'm going to do now is that, obviously don't want to go onto the Ritalin, because it's, you know, this is not, it's masking the problem. So I'm going to meet up with a coach. I've just arranged to, we had an interview on yesterday. I'm going to meet up with an ADHD coach to see if I can get my cortisol, I'll use the word cortisol, down. Now, interesting enough, when I did the Camino, it came right. Same routine, get up in the morning, no lying in bed, wake up, get up, go and have breakfast, go and walk, same routine every day. So I've got to try and get into a routine like that at home.
Same routine every day, because that was going to be one of my questions, because you've done such a lot of work looking at the traumas that you've had in the past, why you're hyper alert, why all these things are going on. So one of the things that's worked for you then, the Camino was something that you felt.
And running before that, 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. 2 years ago when I had my freezes, I got up in the morning and thought, I just can't do this. I got up and I ran. And that reset me. So the running actually is a way of doing it, but it's like hitting it with a big hammer. I've got to find other ways of regulating.
Yeah, so other ways of regulating. And so what... looking at the last few years and the things that you have been doing, what else do you think has helped? Even if you think it's a tiny, tiny help, what other things in all the work you've done with different people and on yourself, what do you think?
I'm not sure, but the three things that regulate yourself is connection.
Yes, and you talked last time about co-regulation.
Co-regulation, connection, exercise, and self-expression. So what I'm finding now is that it looks like, with my singing, the self-expression is coming out.
Yeah.
Yeah. My workshop would have been self-expression in the past, but I think I've got to work through a lot of... I've gone into the workshop when I didn't feel like working and pushed through. And those, I think I've got to undo those.
Pushing throughs?
I've got to undo those and go back to just to getting back to enjoyable again.
Getting back to enjoyable.
Yeah.
You've got your workshop.
Oh, yes, yeah.
But getting back to it being, because as we've said before, you know you can do it and you know you can sort.
I know I can do it, but what happens is that it's like if my window of tolerance is so low these days.
Yeah.
So I just have to walk in there or something happens and like, this is uncomfortable, I have to get away from. But what I'm also learning to do as well is to connect with my feelings. And I read some of the other, there's a book called Letting It Go by Hawkins.
There's a couple that got similar titles, and you did, again, that was another theme that came up last time, was letting it go.
Letting it go, yeah. And he was just talking about, and strangely enough, so what happens is the feel of feelings, don't put a name to it. Okay, you feel, I feel anxious now, just let it go. Because in fact, anxious is a word that we put to a bodily feeling that there's no such thing as anxious. We just feel something in our body and we say, oh, that feels like anxiety, whatever it is. So let the feeling come up, and then the bit that I've been doing, I mean, sometimes it can take 90 seconds and the feeling can go, provided you don't feed it. Once you start labeling it and working where it comes from, where it's going to go, then all you're doing is you're reinforcing it.
Okay.
I see you've got a big smile on your face there.
Yes, well, only because one of the phrases that I've heard with anxiety is don't feed the monster.
That's right, exactly right, yeah. Mm. Yeah. So trying to work out where it comes from, whatever. So bear in mind, you've just got to say, there's a feeling in my body. If you want to look at it, emotions, energy, and motion, whatever you want to call it, it's in your body. Just sit with it and wait for your body to dissipate whatever it is. You don't have to have a reason for it. It's just your body says, it's found something that you don't like. Just sit with it and wait, let it go.
So noticing it is perfectly fine, but don't name it.
No.
Sit with it
just
and
sit
let
with
it go.
Let it go, yeah. Mm-hmm. Because your body has been triggered.
Yeah.
You just walk like you... my chest is a bit tight, or my stomach's a bit, something's been triggered.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, just sit with it. Just let it go.
And of course, if you've been brought up in an environment that's not fully safe,
whatever that word means,
mm-hmm. your body is likely to be triggered a little bit more easily in that way.
Mm-hmm.
And so what have you found by trying to do this? You say it's very early on.
Well, the dopamine, cortisol, ADHD, depression, all that's only saw a couple of days ago. But the Ritalin was really an eye-opener for me. You know, I just thought it relaxed me, which from what I gather, people take it to rev them up. And for me, it relaxed. So whatever it did, relaxed me until I came off. And then I thought, this is a familiar feeling.
So the relaxing feeling shows that you know you have the potential for that without Ritalin anyway, because it happened on the Camino.
Yes. Oh, yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But the coming off the Ritalin was a really extreme
kind of back
to the worst position.
Mm-hmm. Which so I ended up going down to some, instead of 20 milligrams, I was saying like 2.5. But once again, I'm trying to not go on to that because I'm trying to find other ways to sort it out.
So are you taking it at the moment, just small doses or not?
No, I think I did this morning, but no. Okay, so what's happening now is that I'm trying to put new things into practice.
Yeah.
But I still haven't got a program yet of what's going to work and what's not. So we had the light come on in the morning at 7:15 in the bedroom. I was awake, and then I did a bit of breathing exercises in bed, waiting for the sun to come up, and then I took the dog for a walk. So I've got to try and work out a pattern that works for me that I can do routine every day. So that's my, if I saw you again, I'll be saying, this is my pattern.
This is notice your pattern.
Yeah, yeah.
And of course that is hard work to develop.
Oh,
that
it is
pattern.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Yeah. And so what just looking ahead, what would you like to be noticing about yourself when you develop this routine?
Oh, Maggie, my head is just feels like a cotton wool in my head, especially today. It's like it's just not working properly. So I kind of guess this is what other word people call depression. You're just not motivated to do anything. You don't want to work. You're just getting from A to B. You're just working for the next couple of hours. That's what you're doing. How do I get from now to 4 o'clock? You know, that's as much as you can go. So I think the determination that I've had as a child is probably driving me through this, which if I didn't have that determination, I'm not quite sure where I'd be. I know I can fix this.
I know you can fix it, but you did mention about thinking about suicide when that Ritalin wore off.
Yes, but keep that in mind, that thinking about that, but I also know that this is just a thought.
Yeah.
You know, this is not happening.
No, it's not happening.
It's not a way out. It's just a thought, and I know that it's going to pass.
Yeah.
So we're going to get through it.
Awesome.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm aware of that, but it's like...
It's very common for us to have those thoughts, but it's acknowledging that that it's a thought.
It's going to pass.
And it's going to pass.
Yeah. So, I mean, I've had not the same... That was probably... When I had my free... In fact, I found out there's a woman called Linda Tai. She's a somatic coach. I'm actually going to do a course now. She's really written. She explains all of these processes going through. So what basically happens, what she says, when you go into the free statement, a real free statement, is your body shuts off all emotions, everything, because it's preparing for death. And that's really what I had 2 years ago when I woke up in the middle of the night. Freeze. My body was saying, you're going to die. I'm switching off everything now, so you can just die peacefully. So I've been down a lot of process. I kind of know that they're there, and I know I've gone through them before, so I'll come out the other side.
So you know that you'll come out the other side. How, what was it about you that helped you come through that?
I think inside me there's got to be a way through this. There's got to be a way through this. If you look at stuff that I've done, built my own house and other bits and pieces. I mean, I always find a way through things.
You always find a way through.
I always find a way. Right from a kid, I said, I can fix it.
I'm going to linger on this bit for a while because you are inspiring with everything that you've done.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to understand a little bit more about, you know, you've got this conviction. And I totally agree with you. I want to understand a bit more about what is it about you that helps you cope with that and
right.
Know that you can...
I'll just add a bit more in.
Yeah.
What's the time? We've got to hop off to...
We've got to about 20 past.
Yeah.
Two.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what I don't know, I told my mother went for ECT.
Yes.
Right. So then I thought about that as well. Now, to go to ECT, she was in Zambia, I was brought up in Zambia. We really had good doctors and things over there. I went to have my tonsils out, and my mother came to pick me up, and I said, they haven't taken them out yet. That's how good they were.
Right.
I didn't know they'd taken them out.
Right.
So we had really,
wow.
Really, it was people who wanted to, you know, broaden their horizons, came to South Africa, to Zambia to go and do it. So we really, really had some good people over there. So for my mother to go to electroconvulsive therapy, I thought about it afterwards. She must have been on a number of drugs beforehand. They would have tried all sorts of things, because I think that's almost like the last resort, isn't it? Yeah. So I thought about that, and then something had happened, I don't think I mentioned to you, when my folks came to visit in 2005, I brought up the physical Hardings about it as a child, and my dad said to me, at the table, sitting there. He says, well, you turned out all right, didn't you? And I thought, you know, but I've since meditated on that, or thought about what you want to call it, on that. And I realise now my dad must have been fully engaged in my mother's problems. Okay. He saw me being beaten, he saw the black and blue marks on me, but I'd survived. From a survival point of view, I was okay. So he probably would have, I'm not sure what would have happened, but...
Because you've described him as quite a gentleman.
Yeah, so he must have been trying to keep things together. And then even supported my mother when he made that statement. But what he didn't realize is the psychological damage he did.
Yeah.
Yeah. He didn't, but that was way beyond his scope of even thinking about that.
Yeah.
I mean, at one point he put the three of us in the car and he was going to drive away from home, leave my mother. So she must have been, for him to do that, she must have been seriously not. Maybe that was the, that was, maybe at that point she went for the electroconvulsive therapy, I'm not sure.
Yeah. So there was one time when he it's a constant battle, isn't it, with your what your beliefs are and your values, and he obviously cared about your mum and felt his role was to be there, but he at one point thought, I've got to get the kids away from this.
So I'm not sure where we were going just before that.
So
now that I look at it now, I think my father must have given me some sort of comfort or drive during those times without talking to me, just being with him or being quiet or whatever it is. Because he used to go and work, he used to repair cars. He's a motor mechanic, but he used to repair cars on the weekend to make extra money. And I was always with him.
You were always with him?
With him, yeah, at the workshop, yeah.
And so in that, when you were with him, just him, you would have felt safe, I suppose.
Safe, yeah, and I was busy making and building things, all sorts of stuff.
And you still like building things,
yeah,
don't
still
you?
Yeah, still get a piece of wire and see what I can make from it and do other things.
Mm.
That's always been there inside me. Yeah.
Mm. And so he gave you that almost self-belief in some of those building things, perhaps.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's probably where the drive came from, yeah.
And if I was going to ask somebody close to you to describe you, what would they say? What would other people say about you?
Well, Rob, my mate, I've known for 45 years, yeah. Rob, he'd say, I've got this incredible determination.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's how you describe me. Incredible drive to actually get through it.
Incredible drive.
He, on the other hand, is the most disciplined person I've met in my life.
Oh, really?
He is... Jeez, you can set your watch by him, it's unbelievable.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Does that mean he has a routine, you mean, by discipline?
Yeah, no, every morning he gets up, does his yoga for 25, 15 minutes, whatever it is. Then does his learning French.
Right.
Whole Friday he goes to French school.
Right.
And he went to, that's where I actually met him in France. When I went to the Camino, I met him in France. He was at one of the schools over there. So when I was really wobbly, I thought, I'll go and see him to try and get myself down, but... He's quite a big guy. On the phone, I can regulate with him, but not in person.
Mm.
In person, it was like, I just couldn't do it. However, I'm understanding now, I could probably do it now, but at the time, I couldn't do it. I actually felt very, very wide when I was at his house.
Mm.
But he's quite, he's got a psychology degree, he's got all sorts of stuff. He put himself through MBA and stuff, so he's done very, very well.
Mm.
His mother died when he was about 12 and his father was an alcoholic. He grew up in a children's home. 5 kids all grew up in children's homes. So I don't want to say it too loudly, but I think a lot of his drives are from from that as well. But
yeah.
We chat every 2-3 days.
And so the drive, there's two things that make me think then, because one is you're very aware of the people around whom you can co-regulate and feel calmer in yourself, aren't you? And so some of what, how do you make sure that you are with the right people?
Well, I'm beginning to become aware of it now.
Right.
So that's the main thing now that my other friend, another Rob, we also lived in the same house as well.
Yeah.
I'd like to see him again now and just see what happens because he's not regulated. Like another friend who's also not regular, he's a mad kid, but I haven't bumped into him for a while.
Right.
Yeah, so I've been quite, I've just been aware of it, so I'm just checking it. And then if I feel something's not quite right, just sit with it and see if it passes. Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's amazing because the regulation thing, I mean, not everybody talks as eloquently as you do about it, because it's an generally an unconscious phenomenon.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're consciously, you've become more aware of it in your own, I'm going to use the word healing, but in your own healing, you become more aware of it. Which is the connection part of what.
Well, bear in mind, I've been studying this for a long time now.
I know that.
Yeah, yeah, it's quite something.
But some people study for a lifetime and don't ever get there.
Well, you know Eckhart Tolle, don't you?
I think so.
He's a German dude. Actually, he's worth it. Just go and look up.
Google him.
Eckhart. No, go and watch one of his talks.
Okay, tell me.
On YouTube, Eckhart.
Yeah.
I think it's Eckhart.
Yeah.
Tolle, I think. Eckhart Tolle.
Okay, I will find.
Oh, hold on. He's got a whole book out. If you want a regulated man, listen to him.
Okay.
He's got a book. He's got a book out. You can get it. You can get an audio book. He was completely wired. 27, just absolutely wired. And then something one day just broke. And all of a sudden he could hear the birds. The whole world just opened up to him. He had a spiritual awakening.
Right.
Spiritual awakening, and the whole world changed.
Right.
Who's Dumb and Dumber? What's his name?
You're testing my memory now.
Dumb and Dumber. Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Yeah, I think Jim Carrey's a big follower of him as well.
Right.
Yeah. So where I was going with that basically is that you need to look for, in fact I listened to another one too, Carl Jung. Basically there's no such thing as depression. Depression is just a stage in your spiritual awakening. So what's happening is you've got your ego, you've got yourself, and the two are fighting. And that's where the depression comes in. The ego says, no, 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 and you say, I want to get out. And you just get...
Love that.
Yeah, yeah. It's really, it's a half an hour talk on it. And that I found really... So all of these things say, look, so even in the depression, I can come out of it.
Yeah.
There's a way out. Narcissistic, if you go and look at narcissistic and... Jordan Peterson as well, he says, you went through that process, from a Christian point of view, you went through that process to hone you and fire you and make you strong.
You've been very clear. I mean, one of the things I've got from you talking to you the last three times, that you've been very clear about the opportunity for growth.
Yes. Thank you.
That's come out very strongly.
But that's me. That is me.
Beautiful.
Now... I know that. I'll give you a hug at this moment. But the problem that I got, Maggie, my wife doesn't recognize that skill at all.
No.
That's what I've been fighting with for 28 years. Does not recognize it. So I kept thinking, if I comply, if I do this, if I do that, it'll all work out. And you just try harder, try harder, try harder, try harder. So I'm kind of at the end of that process now.
Well, that's, again, I'm going to say things, and as you know, sometimes I get it wrong. So if I get it wrong, just say, but that to me feels like you waking up to your role in the relationship, what you can and cannot influence.
I'll go back a step. I'm waking up to myself.
Yes, and I suppose that's what I mean, because unless... our partners are doing their own work, we can't do that together unless they're doing their own work.
It's really frustrating because a lot of times she says she feels very alone with other bits and pieces, and I thought, yeah, I've spent 5 years alone in my research. You know, you haven't come alongside me at all. Right in the beginning when I started the lift course, I said, why don't you come alongside, we can both grow together. She said, no. So yeah. Anyway, I don't want to paint that any worse than what it is. This is where we've got a little bit of time now. So now I'm going to listen to you for a while. Her blood and liver counts yesterday were through the roof, so they've actually cancelled her chemo for today. So she's there trying to get another CT scan to see, because it looks like the drug is not working, according to the
oncologist.
Yeah, so the results came out. The nurse from hospital up here, St. George's, phoned the oncologist and said, these are the results. And he said, right, we're going to put that on hold. We need to get another CT scan to see what's going to happen. Okay. So it might not be working. Which basically means in her liver, it's, I can't remember, it's something 15, whatever it is, an indication of the cancer.
I don't know, but anything to do with the liver is...
Well, there's a blood marker of how much free radicals or whatever it is in the blood.
Yeah, yeah.
It's supposed to be below 75. It was 2,000 something, and now down to, it's up to 6,800.
Right.
So it's not looking good at the moment.
So it's still going up.
Yeah.
And has she spoken about that to you?
She did, and I think I was more upset about the results than she was. It's the stoic... We've connected reasonably well over the last few days. And it's this, I just got to accept that she's just stoic and this is just the way it is. But it doesn't really, I don't know. So that's what I want to ask you now, is that, I'll get this thing to keep quiet. It's really hard. I mean, if she's going to carry on going downhill now, because she says she does feel a little bit more uncomfortable in the liver. So the scan will tell. But I mean, it's going to be hard for me to watch somebody die. And I don't quite know. What do you do? Well, just like your horse, what do you do? What do you do? How do you? You just got to come to terms with it, I suppose. But I mean, it's really, really, really hard.
Really hard.
I know. And I think the difference is that the dog or the horse or whatever it is, it's relatively quick.
Yeah.
Yeah. This could drag on for 3 or 4 months, even longer.
But even as I hear you saying that,
yeah,
that shows your kindness. In that you're still thinking of the fact that it's pretty tough.
No, I know that, but that's, once again, that's the other side of, they say you, with ADHD or something along that line, you're a hyper empath. You actually can connect with other people, and I feel that I can do that in certain situations.
Even when they're someone who has not connected back in the way that you have needed at times.
That's probably why it's so painful. Because you try to connect, you've got it in you to connect, and it's just blocked.
But you have tried is the important thing.
Yes.
You have tried for 28 years.
Yeah,
you have embarked on the personal growth.
Mm-hmm.
You have done everything within your power to do that.
And you're quite right. If you say it that way, you're quite right. There's really nothing. Actually, honestly, if you had asked me what things could I change now, I'd say there's nothing I could change. Nothing I could change.
And you said before you gave me that news, you said that you had connected reasonably well with her the last few days.
Mm.
Can you tell me about what happened there and how that happened?
All right. That's a man thing. I said to her, right, you're feeling pretty crappy now. Shall we try and go and have sex? And... strange, I have thought about that a little bit more recently. I think because we don't connect emotionally, the physical side has an element as well. So that's probably why in some ways I've carried on for so long, because in the physical intimacy there is a form of connection.
There is a connection.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was like that. We did on Sunday, and then the news came in, and I just felt somehow that just let down. Because we spoke about it after, said, do you feel better after this? It's just, yeah, no, I did. I didn't really want to, but I felt better after. So I said, well, that's good, because I felt better as well. So we had a connecting.
We both
felt better. So it was a connecting time.
Yeah.
So it was like we'd just, so I almost feel like saying, well, let's have it every 2-3 days and just see what happens.
Mm.
Because I think from a, I've always felt after sex more connected. Mm. But I think that's just a normal human function.
Well, I think it is, but I think, you know, when you're going through what you're going through, which is someone potentially dying of their cancer, and you reconciling your own past and trauma, I think that sort of, you know, any connection that you could get.
Well, I have to say that's the, because we don't, there's no real connection outside of that. Even with her telling me the cancer, I mean, she was sort of a little bit weepy. I mean, I felt a lot more distorted than she did. And then she just says, well, maybe they got it wrong, or this is wrong, and just sort of carry it on. It's like there's no, just hold me, just be with me, help me, or I'm feeling, it's just none of that.
And so some of it is the difficulty of what she needs. It does strike me, I mean, I've obviously never met her, but it does strike me that somehow the intimacy of emotional intimacy is something she struggles with.
Well, if I look back at it, but I think I said to you before, she's got it, two sisters have got it, and daughters have got it.
Yeah.
They're all not there.
So there's something in the family, isn't
there? Yeah, there's something. I think you read my letter, didn't you? You said
yeah.
Same thing too. I've been thinking about that. It's just, on the other hand, the son's the other way. The son is now, he's
that
gone.
Norman,
sorry, Norman.
Norman.
Yeah, he's gone the other way. So it's basically built into the structure. You can't go there.
Mm. And we know, and I think you and I talked before, we know that that happened. We know that trauma is intergenerationally transferred now.
Mm.
You know, people used to go rubbish, but they proved it. So, So looking ahead now then, in this next sort of stage, and I don't know what the rules are, but we might be able to see each other again. I don't know what the...
Well...
I'll just have to check, because I don't do any of the admin.
Okay, the thing is that what I... this next stage, with her going downhill, I don't... It's going to be, I don't know. It's like the two neighbors that we used to have, the one took Helen out this morning for, went to Sumner and back. I just wish they were still next door to me, because I know that if I'm feeling pretty crappy, I could just go back next door, have a cup of coffee, sit down, just talk about it, and then come back. I kind of don't know. I'm not quite sure. Yeah. I kind of need to get a group of people together that's going to help me through that.
Yes, absolutely.
Mm. But I'm not quite sure how and where.
But that's a really good thought, is having that insight that you've got now, is knowing how to get through the next stage, what you need to get through the next stage.
Yeah, the question is how quickly it goes. I presume hospice will come around towards the end as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, I suppose, it's... I suppose I can talk to Jenny.
Jenny
from the Cancer Society.
Oh, yeah.
I suppose I could talk to her, and she'll probably be able to point me in the right directions of what to do.
Yeah. But recognizing...
I'd love to be able to be talking about this now, but you just don't go there.
Mm. again, you recognize that.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'll be doing it differently.
Yeah. If it was happening to you.
Mm.
Yeah. Because you're a different person, and you're a different person to you were 10 years ago anyway.
Mm.
I wonder, it's just what thought that just hit me then was let me articulate this properly. I mean, you are inspirational, because what just hit me was you're, despite everything that is challenging, you still want it to be the least difficult experience for her that it's possible to be, despite the fact that you don't always get what you need. You want to make sure she gets what she needs.
Yeah, well, I might feather that one out. Is that truly coming from within me? Or is it a condition of my childhood where I just had to behave and do the right thing? Don't know.
But you could walk away.
Yeah, but I couldn't walk away as a child.
No, but you could walk away, and you're not walking away.
Well, like I said to you before, in going through this, I'm going to learn something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So uncomfortable
as it is.
It's all about growth, even if it's uncomfortable.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's also about, I mean, I do see the kindness.
Thank you.
That's, I mean, I hear totally what you're saying about acquiescing as a child. I mean, there's a few people I know, including myself at times, that do things like that.
Mm.
So I completely hear that. But, I think you're not a child now. You've done a lot of stuff on personal growth. You understand that there's always more to do, even if it's painful, but you're still taking the responsibilities of being kind.
Well, I don't quite know what I hear you saying that, but I mean, I don't, if I had to walk away now, I don't know what I'd walk away to.
No.
I don't want to walk away, and I don't know. Going ahead too, I'm not quite sure what's even going to be ahead.
No.
So, but I really have no choice.
So what does the next stage, what do you want the next stage to look like? What do you want this to look like?
You mean with Helen or after Helen?
Either. Well, as you progress through this, because it's a...
I think what's going to happen now is it's going to become more and more. Helen loves control, and I think as time goes on, she's going to less and less control. So it's going to be very uncomfortable for her.
Yeah.
She's not going to be able to do what she wants to do.
That's a very insightful thing too, because talking to many of the people here, especially the ones who are dying or whatever, one of their struggles is the issue of control. Even those who don't have control personalities, they just need to control something.
So that's, but there's nothing I can do about that. I can just be there, that's all.
Yeah, you can be
so there. That's going to be difficult for her. But on the other hand too, with it, as she lets go of the control, there'll probably also be a bit of a softening as well.
Yeah.
So as she lets go bit by bit. So I don't know. It is what it is. Yeah, yeah.
As she lets go bit by bit. And then at the same time, judging what you were saying this morning, before we began, you're very clear, far more clear now, about what things will work for you as you come through this, which is the connection, the exercise.
I understand that, but the connection's a little bit difficult because the things that I'm doing now are paid things. You know, I kind of, it's a pity this, I mean, if we want to go back 20 years, we had a great bunch of neighbours. We live on a block and we used to be in and out each other's houses all the time. We're just all connected, you know, it was really, really great. I'd love to have that same environment again. The neighbours now, I mean, the one I've only seen twice in about 5 years.
Mm.
And the other one, 2 or 3 times in 5 years. We just don't have that relationship anymore.
So you're having to be more intentional with those people.
Sorry, yeah, that's the right word. I'm intentional in getting connection.
Yeah.
So I'm going to try and find some ways of connecting with other people. I'll have to talk to Helen and just see about that, because she's got bloody bugger. 3 of her friends' husbands have died.
Right.
Part of her book club. I don't know whether I need to talk to them and see whether they're going to come around and visit, or I'm not quite sure. But I don't know.
So that from Helen's point of view, you'll talk to her about what she needs for a connection.
No, what we need.
What you need
what
together.
What we need together, yeah.
Mm. Mm. Much better phrased. So yeah, so what you need during this next stage regarding connection.
Because coming back, the point I wanted to make was is that when she's busy dying on the bed, I can't say, oh, I'm going off to singing tonight.
Mm.
You know? If we had the relationship with the neighbours and things, I can say, look, I need some time off.
Mm.
You spend time with Helen and I'm going, and I need to make that, I need to try and make that forum happen. But that's the difficult thing. I mean, I don't really want to, but Helen's, she likes to be in control and do everything correctly. So even when visitors come, the house will have to be tidied and all the other bits and pieces to go with it.
Mm.
So it's not going to be relaxing for her when somebody comes to visit.
Mm.
In the old days when we had neighbours, the way it was then, that was actually, because we were so connected, it didn't matter.
Mm.
But if we do something now, I don't know. Anyway, I'll have to work on that one.
And I think you will still need some time. It's very important that you still get time that is right for you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because for all of us to be our best selves, we need to do that self-care too.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I got down from the last recording there. I have needs as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it always, you know, we often feel, oh, I can't do that, but actually it's really important for the other person
mm-hmm.
too.
So maybe I need to start putting those sort of things in progress now.
Mm.
Robin, who came to visit now, that's the one who was our neighbour, whose son died of cancer.
Mm.
So she kind of understands a lot more.
Mm.
So she spent time with Helen today. She's very, her and her husband are both very caring. They're quite nice.
Mm.
But they live out in West Melton, so it's not so easy to get them backwards and forwards. Actually, I'll have a word with Maggie De Freitas and just see. I must connect with her and just see what we can do. Maggie De Freitas, her husband was a psychologist.
Right.
And he died of cancer about a year ago.
Right. And she's someone you know socially, is she? Or?
Well, it's Helen, part of Helen's book club.
Part of Helen's book club.
Yeah, so she might be the right person.
Yeah, because they all, everyone sees Helen from different perspectives, don't they? And we'll have different.
Yeah.
Things to give.
It is a difficult one because in my mind there's the Helen needs to pretend to be have everything together. So it's not so easy to just say they're coming to visit. Basically puts a huge responsibility on me. But as you say, I've got to say I've got my needs and this is what I need to do. I need to just start doing things.
You have got to look after your own needs.
Yeah.
But I'm very aware, again, this is something to give yourself credit for, that you are thinking of things from Helen's perspective as well. Whatever the reasons for that, whether it's some of how you were as a child, it's still an important thing to be doing.
Thank you. Make me feel good.
Thank you. this for that. Let me see, Leopard, if we can give you. It would be good to see you in a few weeks and hear how that's going, wouldn't it? Let's have a look. I never know. Kath knows all of this, how this all works, really. But...
And by that stage, hopefully, I would have got into a bit of a routine with my ADHD coach.
Yeah. Do you know what I think I might... I think you're on the Southern Cancer counselling thing, which is 3. But what I might do, if it works for you, I'm allowed at my discretion to give 1 extra.
Okay. I mean, it doesn't matter. If you do... Well, if I've got to pay for it as well, that's also not a problem.
No, you haven't got to pay for it. And I'm wondering whether we do that in a few weeks,
okay,
so that we can see how that's going now that things have changed slightly with what's happening with her.
Well, we'll see. If the treatment's not working, she's going to have to accept that. That's going to be quite hard.
Very hard. Very hard for both of you.
And then on the other hand, too, hopefully I'll be able to get a bit more regulated. With the coach.
Yeah. So where would you be, if we talk about your regulation now, we've done scales before, but if we just use a scale for your regulation and 10 is where you're going to ultimately get at, where would you say you are now?
I'm on a 4 today.
On a 4 today?
Yeah.
And when I next see you, where will you be?
I have no idea. It varies from day to day.
Yeah, but where do you want to be?
I don't know. It is what it is. If you asked me 2 weeks ago, I would have said I'm a 9 out of 10.
Okay. So it varies day to day. So it sounds to me then that what you're looking for is more consistency.
Yes, but I think that in my mind, this is my cortisol is fluctuating a little bit up and down. The fact that the Ritalin made such a difference to me made realize it's a brain chemical thing.
Yeah.
So I've got to look at now. Foods and other, I mean, we eat well now, but I might need to supplement with a few other things for cortisol or dopamine or whatever it is. Just try and research it and try and get that into my system.
Okay. So what, let's look at dates then.
So do you ride quite often then?
What?
You ride your horse quite often.
I used to, but he is old now. He's 29, so I haven't ridden him for a couple of years.
Because you were limping a little while ago, is it? Not from a horse, was it?
I don't know what that was from.
Oh, when I originally saw you, I thought you had a bit of a limp.
Well, I may well have done, but it was probably just I'd done too much exercise.
Okay,
right.
As long as you haven't fallen off your horse.
Yeah, I don't think so. What about the 1st of July? Will that work?
Yeah.
2:30.
Yeah, same. Is it what day? Is also Tuesday?
Yeah.
Okay. That's fine. I'll let you know. Helen's chemo is normally on a Tuesday, but we don't know what's happening with it. No. And we don't know when it's going to be either.
The other day I sometimes do is a Thursday, so we'll pop you in there just so that you're in the system.
Okay.
And then if we need to change it, we'll change it.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. Sorry about yours.
As you say, we know that it happens when you have animals.